Morning, everyone. I just love those final words. The incredible proclamation of the Roman centurion who was overseeing the execution. Him and the guards who had been gambling hours before over the clothes of Christ, then proclaiming, truly, this man was the Son of God. There was no equivocation, no ifs or maybes, just the declaration that this man is who he claimed to be. The Jewish people and the priests mocked and ridiculed Christ on the cross. The priests felt that they had finally won. They had been trying since early on in Christ's ministry to find a way to kill him. And here they felt they had finally done it. They believed that by killing him, they would stop him. That they had shown the whole world that this man's teachings were false. That he was not the King of Jews. That he was not, as he claimed, the Son of God. But they did not realize that the Messiah, the Savior, had come to do just that. To die. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, the writer of Hebrews says, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle that was not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Says that he entered the Holy of Holies on our behalf. And in the passage that Seth read this morning, we hear that at his death, the curtain that blocked off the Holy of Holies within the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The very presence of God had been contained within that space, and now God was opening up his presence for all of us. Each of us are offered access to the Father through Christ. Now Jesus serves as our high priest forever, and through him we can stand in the presence of the Father without blame or guilt. We are truly made clean, healed from sickness and death forever. In Romans 10, Paul writes, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There's assurance in that statement. There's assurance that we can have in our salvation because of Christ. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no magic quota that will one day be reached and God will cut off any new entrance. And that there is nothing that you have done or could have done in your past that could stand in the way. Just two chapters before in Romans 8, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you confess Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And there is nothing that will be able to separate you from the love of God when we have come to his Son, Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There are just so many scriptures that attest to these truths. That when we come to Christ, we are saved. When we come to him, we have peace with the Father. He is now our high priest. He is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Most High God, glorified forever, and one day coming back for us, his children, his bride. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as I preached in my gospel, for which I am now suffering. I am bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This assurance in the power of Christ, that the work that he did on the cross was sufficient for his disciples 2,000 years ago, for the church in the times since, and for us here today, for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, that work was done once and for all. In Hebrews, it says that the culmination of the ages that Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for us. God aligned everything so that his son could come at that time, in that place, to be the sacrifice for you and I, to make the peace with God that you and I could never make on our own. We could never make it on our own merits, but Christ could. When he came to be baptized by his cousin John, and he walked down into the Jordan River Valley, John looked up and pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John knew who he was. We know who Jesus is. Today, we are going to partake in communion together. We're going to share in the bread and the cup of the Lord Jesus that he shared with his disciples on that night when he was betrayed. He says that when we do this, and every time we do this, that we are to do it in memory of him, to remember the sacrifice that he made, to remember his body that was broken for us, his blood that was spilled for us, his blood that sealed us in the new covenant. While the deacons come to prepare the elements and the worship team can come forward as well, I want to read us a passage from Isaiah this morning. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with sorrow. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Savior's love, and through the storm, he is Lord.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. The body of Christ. Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." This cup is the new covenant in his blood. He was poured out like an offering for us. Let us drink together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for your Son. And Lord God, for your love for us. Jesus, we thank you for coming and for humbling yourself and for subjecting yourself to not only the pain, but taking on all of our sin, all of our shortcomings, all of our failures. You took it upon yourself so that we could have peace with your Father. You took it upon yourself because you loved us so dearly. Father, I just thank you for the compassion that you've shown us, Lord, and for your mercies that are new every morning. And Father, I just thank you for every person who is here today. Holy Spirit, just speak to their hearts. Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to each of us, that you'd continue to show us your love, continue to show us all the treasures that you have saved up for us. Lord, give us that hope and assurance that we can have, knowing that everyone who calls on your name will be saved. And Father, I thank you that this salvation isn't just for a one day. It isn't just for the future. But Lord God, that we can experience you with us here and now, today. Lord, that we can experience your healing. We can experience your forgiveness. Father, I lift up all of those in our church who are so sick. Father, for Nathan Stefan and his family as he's in the hospital right now. Lord God, I pray that you would just break this fever. And you'd remove these headaches. Lord, that you'd give the doctors wisdom as they try and find out what's wrong. But Lord, that your presence would just so fill that hospital room with peace and with comfort and with love. Lord, be with Kelly and Donna as they sit with him. And Father, we think of all of those in our church who are sick with cancer or different diseases. Lord God, it has been a difficult few years. But God, you are still the great physician. You are still a good, good Father, even as you call your loved ones home. But Father, we just ask in your grace and mercy today to bring the miracle of healing. Lord, that we would just experience your goodness and power, even this very day. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand. Down.
I just want to offer an invitation. If there's anyone here who wants to know more about Jesus, or if there's anyone here who wants prayer this morning, I'll be up at the front, and maybe Pastor Chris will be too, and just come forward after the service, and we'd be happy to pray with you and talk with you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forever. Amen. Go in peace.